You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. All next week, all over San Francisco, people will be gathering to talk about something that many find hard to face: death. The local nonprofit Reimagine is partnering with the City of San Francisco and many other organizations to put on a week of activities called Reimagine End of Life. Its aim is to create a citywide community conversation exploring big questions about life and death. There are 175 events planned over the week, from lectures to community discussions to religious worship gatherings. Art is also a big part of the week, including an immersive performance experience called Second Chance. It uses virtual reality, theater, acrobatics, and live music to answer the question, what if facing our death allowed us to live more fully? KALW's Jen Sheehan spoke with founder and executive director of Reimagine, Brad Wolf, and co-producer of Second Chance, Scott Shigioka, about bringing these difficult subjects to light. And a quick note to listeners, KALW is a media sponsor for Reimagine End of Life.
Now, I don't want to make any assumptions about either of you, but you both look like you're on the younger end of the life spectrum normally, or one might think that thinking about end of life is something for those in the older side. I'm wondering what your personal interest or how you came to this topic. How did it come to you?
I come to this topic really through the lens initially of my grandparents, who were both on my dad's side, who were Auschwitz survivors. And, you know, my grandma was able to stay alive because there was actually a Nazi guard who would give her sneak her a sandwich that then she would divide up into little pieces that she would then redistribute to her campmates. So she would get a little bite of a sandwich every day, and that kept her alive. And my grandfather, he survived by taking the food inside of the clothing of the bodies that he had to carry to and from the crematorium. That was his job, is to carry the bodies, and that's how he was able to live. That and eating snails that he would find. And so just growing up and hearing these stories of the lengths that people would go to stay alive, and what is it about life that makes it so special that you would want to and choose to fight to endure all of that suffering, is what got me thinking about the idea of mortality. And then when I was in my 20s, I had one of my best friends, she was diagnosed with a rare form of pediatric cancer. And while she was dying, I'm a songwriter and would bring my guitar to the hospital and started playing music for her. And it was there that I really saw, they talk about the power of music or the power of art, which is something we talk about, but I really felt it when I saw the way that music could impact somebody's experience, hers and mine, over that period.
Yeah, I think, death happens at every age, and it impacts people, whether you're the person that's going through that experience or whether it's a loved one that's going through it. And through my personal life, I've experienced a lot of it and sometimes felt like I didn't have the tools or the community to really talk about it, and really didn't have the tools to be there for those that were going through the process of dying. And over time, learned about ways to support those who are going through that process, and things as simple as, holding someone's hand or being in the room and cultivating a space of silence, or thinking about ways in which you can just be and support someone going through a process like dying, which is really hard. And so I'm really connected to the topic. And I think a lot of people are afraid or fearful of it. And I think any way that we can allow people to open up about it and be vulnerable and be guided in that process is really powerful.
There are so many activities planned during this week, from practical stuff like workshops on advanced care directives to film screenings and lectures and arts activities. How did you decide what to put into the event? How did you curate all the different things?
Yeah, so we see our job at Reimagine as really trying to represent all the ways that this topic reflects back on life itself. So as broad as life is, we want the week to reflect all of that. So, you know, grief isn't something, for example, that's just a sad thing. There's like humor in loss. There's comedy shows. We have like Chris Garcia from Comedy Central coming. We have a show at the Punchline. So there's comedy, but there's also music. There's a lot of musical events, and there's, like you're mentioning, different lectures, but events at religious places of worship all across the city. And then there's also these immersive art experiences, for example, that Scott's doing such an incredible job of curating.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Second Chance, an immersive death experience. And when I got this press release in my inbox, I was like, I better open this. What is this? Mm. So can you talk about what that title means? What is the immersive experience? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been interviewing a bunch of individuals that have experienced death and then were resuscitated and brought back to life. And one of the interesting things that came out from those conversations is that for many of them, it really shaped the way that they orient around time and the way that they orient their lives. And some of them made dramatic changes after that happened around their lifestyle, around passion and purpose, around love and relationships. And it's this powerful tool and a powerful experience that really helps people reflect on their own life and think about, are there changes that I need to make to live out a truly full and rich life? And so, you know, one of the things that we really want to do with Second Chance is to create a really safe and guided space for people to experience that and to be faced with death and their own death in hopes of thinking about those questions and shifting those perspectives. And so the way that it's run is that the experience is guided by end-of-life doulas. There are different conversations that you have with those that are in your group who are strangers. So you're invited to go through the experience with only those you don't know.
And they're strangers, but it's a small group.
Yeah, it's a small, right? Intimate group of 10. Yeah, so 10 individuals are invited into the experience every 30 minutes. And, you know, there's all these different moments. So, for instance, we're brewing a tea, and they're in these beautiful cups by Justin Crow, who's an artist, that are glazed with cremated ashes of loved ones. And that has the tea that will give you the strength and courage to go through these final moments. And we're working with Dream Logic, which is an amazing local group that does virtual reality films. And participants will be experiencing their transition through VR. And throughout the entire process, we wanted to make sure that it was guided, that this isn't a horror experience. This is really about being safe. And that's why we have, you know, on-site counselors, for instance, in private rooms in case anyone is experiencing something that is difficult for them and they want to talk to someone or just be with someone. But it really, you know, without giving too much away about the experience, it really ends with you being given a second chance at life and to think about how you might do it differently, if at all, the next time around.
I have a question for both of you. Why do you think that U.S. American culture has such a problem with looking death squarely in the eyes versus other cultures that seem to have a more of a grasp on it?
I mean, I would say there's a couple factors. I think our modern culture is really facilitating the taboos that have emerged around this topic. Maybe, you know, in the past, if people grew up in religious households, you were exposed to conversations and rituals related to the end of life. You also lived, in many cases, with your loved ones all the way till the end of their life. Now, in so many cases, our elders live somewhere else, maybe in a different geographic region, perhaps. So we're not with them. End of life has also been medicalized. So people are in hospitals kind of out of sight, out of mind. So, you know, I think there's what we're doing here and the outpouring of energy around this topic, I think, stems from the fact that there's a reaction, an equal and opposite reaction to what is happening, and a need and a desire to connect around these meaningful moments and have them owned instead of through the medical system, have them owned by the community.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of fear around death. One of the fears we hear a lot is the fear of disappearing, the fear of, does my life mean anything, and will anyone remember me, and what did I actually provide in my life? And I think it's so important for us to think about our legacies and to think about what we're passing down to our children, our grandchildren, or those that come after us. And, you know, I think the more that we can step into that really brave space of talking about things that really scare us and that we have fears around and saying, that's okay, that's human, and it's okay to have these fears, and there is a lot of things that we don't know. But if we can talk about it and hold space for each other, then that's a really beautiful thing.
the goal really is to, A, connect the entire city to itself through one universal topic that everyone has to face but we don't often talk about. And then really it's to get people more comfortable thinking about and talking about the topic of end of life with their loved ones, because often we wait till people are already sick or dying before we start broaching this topic. And at that point, it becomes an emergency, it becomes challenging, and instead of focusing on your loved ones, you're instead focusing on the logistics of this. And then finally, I think what I'm passionate about is the way that thinking about mortality and just recognizing it can help remind you to live your life more fully while you have the opportunity. So we're hoping that through this week of celebration of life and an exploration of death, that people leave feeling more alive.